don't know about you this morning. If you feel like me, I just want to give God all the glory for every single thing He's done in my life. He is such a wonderful God. I hope and pray the people I'm talking to are rejoicing in Jesus this morning. And if you're not, let me tell you, God has a plan for your life. And even if things are struggling at the moment, there's a breakthrough. There is a way through, and God will prepare a path and give you victory. I believe that with all my heart. The end is near, very, very close, and you will see what God is doing. I just rejoice this morning too at the way God has led us just recently. As you know, we've traveled to many, many countries around the world doing the work that God has asked us to do. And God has slightly moved our direction once again. Isn't He wonderful? He doesn't bore us. He doesn't say, we don't have to say, oh God, have I got to go there again? Have I got to do that again? Nah, God doesn't do that, does He? Or maybe He does with you, but He doesn't with us. We never know what's next. Well, at the moment, God is using us in a wonderful way because of our grey hair, David. But because we have gone a long path with the Lord, we are now in a place where we are developing missionaries, national missionaries that are going to countries that we can't go to. And recently, we just rejoiced because God has given us some wonderful young men. When we went to India last, as you know, we related to these wonderful young men. And now they keep telling us, we're going to, one of them's just come back from the Middle East. Oh, we're going to Sri Lanka soon, so pray for us. We're going to this country, we're going to that country. And I'm going, yes. And when are you coming over, Mommy and Mama and Daddy? When are you coming over to help us and to inspire us and to encourage us again? That's where God's got us at the moment. It's so wonderful. And I'm in a church here and we've got Albert here and he's a father too, isn't he? And you've not rejected him, have you, Luke? You've not rejected Cliff and Alwyn, and we're enjoying their precious selves at the moment. Isn't it lovely when, you know, as you get older, you're not rejected, you're not cast aside. In God, there's no old age pension. In God, there's no retirement home. No, He keeps us going to the end, doesn't He, ladies? He does. He uses us. And if you think He doesn't, just take hold of His hand and say, Lord, what's the next move for me? He'll show you. He'll show you. And He will excite you as we're excited. Another thing I have to tell you, church, you've prayed for our Christopher, our son, for so long. And guess what? He's just come back from France. He's been on holiday in the Alps. That's a miracle in itself because you know he couldn't travel. He has walked around the mountains every single day. He's been on walks, mountaineering walks, with his wife, Joanna. God has done a miracle for our Chris. I just love God so much. At the time when he was suffering, which has been quite a few years now, as you know, he's been struggling and he couldn't even walk to the shops. His stomach would swell because of his problem. But now he's swimming. He never thought he'd get back into the water again. But he is back on form again. Thank you, church, for your prayers. But thank you, Jesus, for what you've done. I have to say thank you to the medical people as well, because I think as well there's been, I'm not sure exactly what's happened, whether God's healed him or even that God has given the medical, the hospital the right prescription. I'm not sure, but we're giving God the glory for whatever it is, because he now is getting back to, well, I think he is back to what he used to be. Isn't God wonderful? So if you've got an illness, if you've got a family member that's struggling and really, really poorly, don't give up. Don't give up. It's a cliche, isn't it? God can do it for Chris. He can do it for your loved one too. I believe it with all my heart. I never really thought Chris would ever be well again. But look, honestly, he's going to be coming. I've got to show you what God has done. So, church, that's my encouragement to you today. Thank you because you are a precious family to us. You are wonderful. We love you so much. We always will. And please take that encouragement from me. Don't give up. Whatever it is God is doing in your life, His plans are always good. God bless you. I know David has a word from the Lord. Thank you so much. We do travel again. I think it's the end of January. So, you know, we're still traveling too, because there is still an urgency, you know, out there. God still loves the world. I was expecting you to say that. God still loves the world, doesn't he? And there's still a world out there to be reached. Thank you for your prayers, and God bless you.
She could have continued for me. I want a bit of watch. I think so. There's a thought. But I want a bit of what she's on anyway, don't you? It's good stuff. Good to be encouraged. Be encouraged, okay? We want to encourage you today. We don't want to bring you into condemnation. We don't want to leave you. There are responsibilities and there's things that we should be doing, but we should be doing it out of love and gratitude and enjoying our lives in God. Since we came across a revelation, really, after ministering for many, many years, being Christians for many years, and around about 2000, 2001, 2, something like that, God gave us a fresh revelation of Himself so that we began to understand God in a totally different way. And I'll tell you something, this Christian life does not have to be boring. It doesn't have to be restricted. I went into, I listened to a pastor the other day I'll even mention his name, okay? It was John Gorn, you know John? Okay, John Gorn, he was with Herman's Hermits, leads a church down in Driffield. Great man, him and his lovely wife, doing a wonderful work together. But he wrote online and said, the Christian life is a narrow life because Jesus said so. And I wrote back to him and I said, I've never heard such a load of rubbish in all my life. And I did, yeah. And he said, but that's what Scripture says. I said, it says narrow is the gate. But then when you walk through the gate, you walk into eternal life, okay? You walk into a dimensionless world. The Christian life is not a narrow life, guys. You've got to understand that the Christian life, the way to it is through one person who's the door. They call him Jesus. Then when you get into his life and when you get into his world, there's a whole world and a whole universe to enjoy, okay? God has given us all things to enjoy. And if you're living a narrow, bitter, twisted, gnarled up life as a Christian because you've got to do this and you've got to do that, and if you're still living by law, get saved. Okay? We're saved by grace, not of works, lest any should boast. And thank God, even though the law still exists, the law only exists to bring us into condemnation. Jesus came into this world to give us life, and life more abundantly. And we want you to enjoy that abundant life. So begin to enjoy Jesus, and many of them people out there will begin to say, I want a bit of what you've got. Okay, rather than if that's being a Christian, I don't want nothing of it. Okay, so I didn't intend saying that. Madeline put it into my mind because she's full of enjoying Jesus. And it's good to enjoy Jesus, isn't it? Praise God. I want to read you a poem. Okay? It's called Amazing Grace. Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. Do you know that poem? Amazing grace, how sweet the sound, that's what believers sing. Yet when it comes to living, they work at everything. It's grace that brought us safe thus far, and grace will lead us home. But can we trust and believe that the work of grace is being done? The price is paid, the victory gained, the Son of God suffered pain, and we still strive to better be, working hard to be set free. So why waste grace and God's great favour through a life of guilt and labour? It's time to accept the gift that's given, a great life here and a home in heaven. It's not by works unless we boast, but through Father, Son and Holy Ghost. Whoa! Is that okay? It's in my book of poems, okay? It's not through Father, Son and Holy Ghost, but it is through Father, Son and Father, okay? Chris, myself and my dad have written several poems and put them together. And many of them are just to inspire you. Madeline's brought you some more travel packs. They're only £1 each. Oh, they're more Christmas packs this time. Well, the bits and bobs. Okay, they're only £1. They've got all kinds of things in. So, no. For the box. Yeah, they're good for the shoe boxes, yeah. Anybody know Robert Cooper? Anybody heard of Robert Cooper? Robert Cooper's a vicar out in Thorpe Thewells, not far away, you know, in the Stockton area. He's a chaplain at the hospital, and a great man of God, a wonderful man of God, passionately loves Jesus, and we work in close relationship together, and I thank God for him, and I thank God for him every day. What an amazing visionary man. Who's a photographer, and he speaks on walks and all kinds of things. He's innovative in his Christian life. It's great to know people, isn't it, who sharpen you, and you think, wow, I'm glad I've been with them, because I come away a little bit better than what I did when I met them. And he's into our mission and wanted to do something about it. So he put some... there's three different cards, but he put some cards together and then put some little thoughts on, and they're just note cards, but you get 5 of them for £1, and he donated that to mission, hundreds and thousands of them, you know, so that, because it's something he wanted to do, to be able to help mission. Isn't that nice? You know, so that's another thing that's only £1, but makes life easy. Praise God. There's lots of other books and lots of other things that are on there. And you know full well that all the stuff that goes to mission. We really do need to reach a lost world. And like Madeline said, there's something precious about what we're doing these days. We are getting older. But, you know, we don't have to hang our boots up. We don't have to finish. We want to finish well. You know, it's not how you start, it's how you finish. And we want to finish well. We want to run well. We want to be well. We want to do good things for Jesus. And whether it's home or abroad, we want to make a difference. We want our lives, we want our days to make a difference. I wrote another poem. There's a poem in there. It talks about a moment of time. Do you know that time is not made up of days? It's not made up of seconds. It's not made up of minutes. It's made up of moments. Moments. And every moment is a precious moment. And we have to maximize the moment. You know, these moments come and go, and opportunities fly by, and somehow, some way, we have to make a difference in that moment. Because when the moment's gone, the passion for the moment's gone. You know, we can waste time. I say to people all the time, I say, how are you doing? They say, I'll be better at 5 o'clock. When the day's finished, I'll be better when I go home. I remember Steve. What's happened to the badgers? Has it gone by the wayside? It was a brilliant idea. Yeah, it's a great idea. If you got some, I'd like some. Okay. Yeah. The big question is a brilliant idea, and I remember you telling us about the guy in the queue, you know, who thought you were talking about eternity. We were talking about the end of the day, wasn't it? Yeah, and I remember that, because that's where people are at. They're thinking about some time in the future when life's going to be okay. But you know something? Now's the time. Now. You've got to live this moment. You haven't got to wait while the end of the meeting. You haven't got to wait. If you feel you've got a prophetic word for someone, if you feel that you've got something to speak in someone's life. I walked in the door this morning and I was glad that somebody came to me and said, you know what? I don't know why I'm saying this, but I just want to tell you the answer's on the way. Well, that's good to know, isn't it? I don't even know what the question is. But before I even ask it, he's answered it. That's got to be good news, hasn't it? It's true. So, you know, speak something good into somebody's life. Speak something exciting into somebody's life. And if you've got something to say, if you're going to say, one day I'm going to tell them I love them, tell them now. Okay, do it now. Now is the time. Now is the time. I'm not preaching on that, okay? So what time do we finish? Hey? Oh, we're all right. We've got loads of time then, haven't we? Loads and loads of time. I was having a conversation online with Ian Green. Do you know Ian Green? Okay. Great guy, okay? And Ian and myself were having a chat together. We talked together on a regular basis. Ian is a wonderful church planter, a wonderful inspirer, and he's taken Eastern Europe apart totally, and still is doing the same as we're doing in lots of ways, and inspiring other people to be able to go where we can't go. Very much of our own mindset, and we kind of sharpen each other off. I wrote something the other day which had nothing to do with this, and he wrote back to me and wrote, "Mmm." So I wrote back to him and said, "Is that mmm or is it mmm?" So I didn't know whether he agreed or disagreed. It was just mmm. But there was something. He'd been asked a question by some church leaders in Eastern Europe, and the question was a great question. A really wonderful question, and I think some of us need to understand something about it. Like, but it was a great question, and the question was this: how often do your church plants succeed, and how often do they fail? That's a great question, isn't it? Have you had many failures in your church plants, and the people who've gone out to church plant, has there been many failures? And do you have a relatively good rate of success? And Ian responded by saying this: it's the wrong question. Because he would. It's the wrong question. And the reason it's the wrong question is because church planting, and that's what I really want to talk about today, not because I've preached in his message, but because we'd had this conversation and it's kind of in my heart and in my mind. That once we set out in a project to do something, it can either fail or succeed. It's true, isn't it? If we're going to run a race and we want to run it in half an hour and it took us 31 minutes, we think we failed. If it takes us 29 minutes, we think we've succeeded. Actually, you really did succeed for actually trying to run the race. So that was a success in itself, but you actually got out of bed, you got up and you ran. And you ran well. You see, once you begin to put time limits on things, and once you begin to actually put details into things, you can make yourself into a failure when actually you were a success. Because there's a lot of other people never ran. Okay? And it's the same with what we do for Jesus. If we're not careful, because we've been taught business models of goal setting and targeting and all that kind of thing, often we don't hit the target and we find ourselves a failure when actually we were being a great success. We aim for the sun, but we hit the moon. Well, there's not many people being on the moon. But because we were aiming for the sun, we think ourselves a failure because we've walked on the moon. Do you see what I'm saying? And in our Christian life, we can do that if we're not careful by setting unrealistic goals, and by setting unrealistic targets, or by setting things that we think We would like to plant a church in Stockton. We'd like to plant a church across the road, down the road, in somewhere in Hartlepool. Well, of course we want the church to flourish. But is it through church planting? Now, you could easily walk out of here and say, oh, Dave's not into church planting anymore. That couldn't be more outside the truth. But the fact that you had a go, or the fact that you tried, or the fact that somebody came to Christ, or the fact that people's lives were affected by what you did, is not a failure. You might not have an expression of what you would have liked to have had in a particular location, but you haven't failed. Because the plan of God is not to have a church here in Billingham. Who? What's he saying? No, God's got a plan to have a church on the planet. Yeah. You got it? I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. There will be expressions of that church in various locations all across the planet, but not necessarily where we think it should be, in a square room. Okay? So we think we're a failure because we don't fill the square room, when actually we're changing the planet. Am I preaching gobbledygook? I don't think so. I think actually I'm teaching the scripture in the way that the scripture ought to be taught, so that every one of us understand how important we are in that church. Okay? And that we actually relate to each other on a close level because we live close to each other and we love one another. And so we gather together in a square room or wherever we might be as an expression of the incredible church that God is building. Do you know you belong to over 1 billion people? Today, in this 24 hours, over 1 billion people will raise their thanks to God. That's 1 in 7 people on this planet will give praise to God. Because he said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. And so often we find ourselves in a bit of a guilt complex because we haven't kind of achieved what we thought we should be achieving. So because down the road there's 400 people meeting and there's only 100 people meet here, we're not as successful as them. Who said? Or are they part of me? So do I rejoice that there's 400 there, and do they rejoice that there's 300 here, or do we rejoice that there's 4 or 5 meeting and home down the road, or do we say they're failures? But we do. And it's because that church plant didn't work, because actually what is really happening is we're extending God's kingdom. And the extension of God's kingdom is important. Now, I still haven't started preaching. I'm still talking about what our conversation between Ian and myself was all about, because we began to realize that we are all involved in a team together that's a magnificent team to see God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. That's what it's all about, isn't it? When I came away from that conversation, which I was totally inspired with, and I never even saw him eyeball to eyeball, but we'd had these few little things of where we both liked what each other said, and we both kind of helped each other through, and a couple of other people joined in, and I think George Werwer put a bit of a thought into it, and things like that, and some great people made quite a bit of a difference. I actually came away over the last 3 or 4 days and said, okay then, God, if my view of the extension of your kingdom on earth has been slightly miscued because we belong to a church planting movement and because we've been trying to establish churches across the planet, what is your plan for your church today? And I've never preached this before anywhere in my life. I'm even only discovering what I'm talking about myself even today. So that's not bad, is it? So if I talk a load of rubbish, you'll forgive me, won't you? You can say, Dave, we're a load of rubbish this morning. And you're allowed to. Okay? But all this last 3 or 4 days, in the middle of work, in the middle of dreaming, in the middle of stuff, I was taken to John 15. I am the vine, you're the branches. Every branch in me that doesn't bear fruit, I purge it, take it away. Every branch in me that bears fruit, I'm going to prune it. I'm going to enable it to bear more fruit. You can read John 15 because John 15 is a great chapter. In fact, may I encourage you to study and study very, very deeply John 13 through to 17. Go home and do it. Take some time in it. Read it over and over again. Do you know why? Jesus threw 3 years of ministry into 3 or 4 chapters. He reiterated all that he'd been doing, all the relationships that he intended out. I'm in the Father's in me, I'm in you. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. By this shall all men know that you're my disciples because you have loved one. Some great teaching. Great prayers. It finishes with that incredible prayer in 17 where he prays for his disciples. And what is happening is in 3.5 days, Jesus is putting into the disciples 3.5 years ministry because he's going to leave them. And if I'm going to leave, I'm going away for a few days, and we're looking after church, what we do to each other is say, look, I'm going away, now you need to do this. Don't you? You know, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure that's in place. You need to make sure that's happening. Because when I'm going away, I need to know it's going to be done. And Jesus says, I'm going away, so here you are, disciples, this is how I want it to be. They're important words. They're very important. If you want to know what Jesus wants you to do, read 13 to 17 of John. And read it and read it and read it, and you'll find something of the passion of Christ for his church. Passion of Christ for his believers. So how many vines are there? There's only one. Okay, how many churches are there? There's only one. I will build my church. There's one church, there's one hope, there's one faith, there's one baptism. There's only one Lord of all. The scripture teaches quite plainly that we meet here, the Baptists meet across the road, the Catholics meet down there, and other people meet here, there, and everywhere, but we're all one church. All one church. And if somebody leaves us and goes to them, they're still part of one church. And actually, they haven't altered their relationship situation. So if you're thinking of leaving and going down the road, it's still important that your relationship's right here because you belong to the same church. It's true, isn't it? You know, you can't say, well, I left that church because I was bitter with the people over there. If you came here because you were bitter with the people over there, you need to go and sort out your bitterness and come back here and enjoy life. Because we're all part of one church. We're all part of the same church. We're all attached to the same vine. And that attachment means that the growth of the church depends on each and every twig. Doesn't it? It depends on the fruitfulness of the vine. And it depends on my personal fruitfulness. So whether the leadership of the church in their vision, and you've just taken a vision offering that wasn't enough, by the way. Okay? It's true. What you put in the offering today actually determined how much vision you personally have got. It's fair, isn't it? I'm not being awkward about it. It's just, It's just what it's about. There's some things that we've wanted. Madeline and myself have just moved into a new bungalow, or into another bungalow, and we've been doing it up and doing various things. We have paid out what we think or consider would be acceptable to us for certain things to be there, and we've had to sacrifice to make sure that happens, because we had an idea of what we'd like it to be. It's true, isn't it? Because we had a vision of what our bungalow is going to be like when it's finished. And so we've been doing some building work and been doing something because we want to be fairly comfortable in what is happening. But for that to happen, we've had to say it's going to cost that amount of money, or it's going to cost that amount of energy or time. And we're prepared to invest that so that it happens. And churches like that. Churches actually don't grow because we would like them to grow. All right? We can have a desire that we'd have a big church. The reason why we have a big church, or the reason why we have a flourishing, and that's my new thing, okay, a flourishing congregation, the reason why we have that is because, not because you've got a good preacher, which you have. I mean, as far as I'm concerned, you couldn't have a greater leader than Luke. That's fantastic, isn't it? I have every confidence in Cliff and Cliff and Alwyn, in what they've done, and in the leadership that you've already got, in the decision that you as a guys have made, that this man would come and lead you. I've got no problem with that at all. I think it's absolutely wonderful. But he will not build this church. No matter how good you are, no matter how clever you are, no matter how good with words you are, I'm actually quite good with words, quite good at communicating, quite good at getting stuff across. I'm actually not very good at gathering people together. Through all my life, I've never really been in charge of a massive church, and yet actually I've changed nations. Isn't that amazing? Because I'm not a gatherer. Another guy came from Whitby, called him Alan. What was his second name? Alan. Pardon? Alan Neil. Alan Neil only had to cough and half a dozen people would come. It's true. But could he keep people? That wasn't his thing. But if he set something up somewhere, you could guarantee that if it was the first day of an event, somehow, some way, he'd have that place absolutely full, because I don't know how he did it, but he did. He was a gatherer. And we're all important in what we do. But the real growth of the church, will come out of the fruitfulness of each member. Won't it? How fruitful you are, how effective you are at moving on or stretching out. I think one of the best examples that I've seen in recent times is that no matter how, you know, blackberries, brambles. You seem to pull it up, don't you, that bramble. And by 2 or 3 months, it's as long as that again, isn't it? It seems to stretch out and get full of fruit, even though you do your best to try and get rid of it. I think the Church of Jesus Christ is like that. That we try to get rid of it, and places around the world where people have tried to get rid of the church actually have it flourishing more. Do you know why? Because the devil does God's pruning for him. It's true. Cut it back and it grows more. And because some of us have not been cut back recently, we don't grow as much as we do. It's true, isn't it? We don't like being cut. We don't like being hurt. We don't like being spoken to. We don't like being challenged. I'm sorry, he's videoing me and following me around. He's going, where else is going next? The object is we bear fruit. And so the question is not were you successful in Redcar, and were you successful in Stockton, and are you successful in Hartlepool in church planting? But are we successful in life at allowing our lives to become fruitful in both spiritual growth and numerical growth, that there are people in the kingdom because of you? Okay? That there are people in the kingdom because of you and because of me. So that we're not asking the question about the success of the leadership of the church or even how good the leadership is. Because the one thing I have found is that the style of a church doesn't seem to make any difference. It's nice for what we like, but there are some places that are so traditional and so old-fashioned and going through the same ritual. I mean, the biggest churches in Hartlepool are the Roman Catholic churches. Now, we can easily say, oh, well, they don't have a real relationship with God. Well, whether they have a real relationship with God or not, people go. People are there. If it's through guilt or whatever it's through, I don't know why they go. I don't understand the background. I'm not here to defend them or to condemn them. I'm just here to say that if you want to talk about congregations, then in our area in the northeast of England, people seem to be attracted to some of the most horrible services that I've ever been in my life. And yeah, I come to other places where I think, you know what, I don't know why this place is not packed. You got it? It's because we have an idea of style and think that the style is the church. And the style is not the church. Is it? You know, the fact that we don't sing hymns anymore and that we sing certain types of choruses, the fact that we have half a dozen choruses at the beginning now or songs, you know, different songs, and we don't have hymn sandwiches or stuff like that, has nothing to do with it. It might be nice and it might be the way that we do it. What has to happen is that you come to listen to Dave Russon today, or you come to listen to Steve tonight, or any other time, whoever's at the front, and that we go out there and do something. Because it's pointless. All of the stuff that goes ahead, with Steve getting his guitar and sings the songs and we have all the nice projection and it all goes well, if that does not affect my life, what's the point? And if my life doesn't affect somebody else's life, what's the point? Can you see that the fruitfulness in our life or the outworking of what happens has to be down to my responsibility? And so what is my responsibility? Dave, you said, amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. But then you told me not to go out and work. Because you said that getting saved is not by works. And it's absolutely true. And I don't think that any of us have to work towards our salvation or even work from our salvation. Because I don't think that's where I'm into. But if I'm going to reach a lost world, the only way that I'm actually going to reach a lost world is by my attachment to the vine. Isn't it? That I'm totally and utterly connected to the vine. Because who am I in love with? Am I in love with the church in Billingham? Am I in love with the pastor? Am I in love with each other? I hope so. But if I'm going to be fruitful, I have to be in love with Jesus. More than anything. He has to be the prime attachment because he is the source of life. He's the source of salvation. He's the source of the energy. There's no fruit comes by attachment to this church. Okay? There's no guaranteed fruit because you belong to one of the best churches in this area. And it's a good church. So I'm not here to knock this you as a group of people. I love you too much. But I love you too much to let you stay the same. Because somehow, some way, our connection to the vine, our connection to Christ, will enable us to make a connection to the world. So we hold his hand and we hold their hand, and somehow through us flows the divine sap, the divine energy, the divine spirit into the lives of people. So that we can say like Peter and John, we don't have anything of ourselves, but in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Because I can't heal anybody. Madeline's just told you about our son who's had a miraculous healing. God's done an amazing thing. We'd lost all faith, really, in the whole thing. We were begging God to do something. That's where we'd got to. We'd gone beyond believing that he could do it. We knew he could do it. We just didn't know why he wasn't doing it. And some of you are there, aren't you? That you know God can, but you just wonder why he doesn't. And one day we'll ask him why he didn't. Because sometimes he doesn't. Even though he can. He can do anything. But we can do nothing. Even Jesus says, I can't do anything without attachment to God. And that divine attachment means that by his Spirit in our lives, we can become fruitful in every good work. So that you, who've never really had the opportunity because you've been to this course or you've been to that course and you've had this idea and you've had that idea and you're fed up with courses, fed up with another program, fed up with another idea. But I still like the badge. But if you haven't used the badge, I used it, actually. I've lost my badge. I need my badge. Yeah, please. Because it works. Don't they? Oh, it was a Stockton thing, was it? Oh, sorry about that. It was a Stockton. Any Stockton people here? You've had your badges, haven't you? Haven't you? Didn't you go far? Oh, you got to get your badges. If you don't know, do you know nothing about the badge? Oh, come on. Tell them about the badge.
It's a black badge, right, with a big question mark. And the big question. So people ask you, so what's the big question? And like Dave said, I was in the supermarket and... you know, this guy, he was on the till, and he says, what's the big question? I said, well, what's your big question? And he said, what time I'm going to finish. And I thought he meant eternity, you know, when he was going to die, but he was on about his shift. So, but it does connect people.
Actually, but it's an idea. But we get fed up of ideas because the ideas in themselves will never work. Might work on an odd occasion. We might do something. The minus to plus thing. Anybody heard of minus to plus? The same time as the gym campaign. It cost a lot of money. I think about £6 million minus to plus cost. And I don't know how many people around the country actually came to know Christ through it. I think very, very few. I was walking about 8 months after that, walking down towards Hartlepool Church, and this guy said to me, do you know anything about this? And I said, oh, wow. He said, that's some time ago. He said, I've just found it in a hedge bottom. And I said, well, what does it mean to you? He said, I need to get right with God, don't I? And I took him to one side, and we talked, and you know that guy's a pastor in Ireland now. He gave his life to Jesus, got reunited with his dad. He asked me if I'd ring his dad because he was estranged from his dad. We got all that put back together again, and it was all because of what we thought was a failure. But actually for him it was an incredible success. But not because of minus to plus, but because of my attachment and his wanting attachment to Christ. Because that's what it's all about. Your attachment to Jesus, passionately, so that your prayer life, your reading life, your life is in Christ. You've just got a new relationship, so that every day, new every morning, is his love towards you. And you allow the life of Christ to sink into you, so that it's no longer I that liveth, but Christ that lives in me. And that the success is not down to the program or down to the system that we use or the idea of what we think church is. His church is being built. We're part of the most successful organization and organism on the planet. Okay? We can't have any more success than what we've got. We can double. But we're part of a massive success. So none of you are failures. But we can become more fruitful. Because we abide in the vine. And we're attached. Which means that when the divine gardener comes along and he needs to tweak you a little bit and needs to sort you out a little bit and needs to cut that bit of deadness off so that you can gain more life. God never, get this before you walk out of them doors, God never cuts you back with the intention of you being less. God always works on you with the intention of you being more. Because God's got a fabulous plan for our life, for us to flourish. That lovely word, flourish. Do you know in Psalms it says, we even flourish in our old age. Wow, that's a good one, Albert, eh? Flourish in your old age. Flourishing. Fat and flourishing. You slimmers, it's ungodly. God delights in fatness. In fact, he even said, bring the fat to me. So all the fat in Jesus' name, come forward. We're going to give you to God. Okay. Have you got the point? Have I said enough? You understand it? I hope so. Just as a finishing thought, how the ordinary things in life can make a difference. And when you're attached to the vine and when you're attached to Christ and you're listening to what he's got to say, everything can take on meaning. And you know that this is conker time again. I talked about conkers some while ago, and trees made a big difference to my life. And at North Tees Hospital, we've been able to transfer the centre into the chapel into the Oasis Spirituality Centre, and our theme really is the Tree of Life. All of the altar and everything that's there is all the Tree of Life. It really has got a prophetic edge to it and has a meaning to it. But I mentioned Robert, and he got in touch with. He sent an email out to the hospital and asked for people to send their photographs in of trees or the countryside, mainly the trees. And for the opening ceremony, we're going to have an art display of the photographs of trees all over. And some of the photographs that people have sent in have been absolutely staggering photographs. Honestly, from the 16th onwards, it's worth going up to North Tees Hospital, having a look in the chapel there, and just seeing the art exhibition, because it's inspiring. We had a devotional with the volunteers who go around the wards on a Friday, and we had a time of devotion, and Robert was taking that devotion, and he didn't want to talk about it, and I said to him, why don't you talk about the photographs and the trees? And he said, oh, that's a good idea. So I didn't know what he was going to say. But he put them all out on chairs, and he said to the volunteers, go out and choose one and just tell us what that tree means to you. The volunteers came back, and everyone just totally inspired me by the thoughts they had from one picture. And they picked the picture up. It's a good idea to do, you know, if you want to know how to explain things at times. You know, just have visual. Jesus used visuality all the time. And different one picked pictures of one. Picked a picture up of a tree that one side of it looked as dead as could be, the other side looked as alive as anything. And they said, what that seems to me is, it all depends which way of life you look. Wow, that's a great thought, isn't it? And then one lady who knows everything, and that's not Madeline, but one lady, one lady who's, she kind of gets on your nerves at times because she just. And her main problem is she does. It's even worse, isn't it, when somebody does know. You know, but she just has an answer for everything. She went and picked this picture up, and it was a picture. You've seen it loads of times yourself, but it's a picture of just a whole forest of like silver birch trees. You know how you've seen that picture. All you see is the trunks. You've seen it, haven't you? You know, we've all seen it all over the place. It's a typical picture. And I thought they were silver birches, but they weren't. Okay, so she put me right. And she said, that's the aspen. That's the aspen. Now, some of you will be clever enough for this anyway, but probably I'm telling you something you don't know either. But the aspen, she told me this, so it's her fault if it's wrong. But the aspen is the largest single organism on this planet. They're amazing. It's the largest single organism on this planet. And I said, that's a load of rubbish. What about the redwood? What about the oak? What about, you know, some of them Russian trees, you know, that seem to go forever? And she said, you see that forest? That is all one tree. The whole forest in that picture is one tree, because what happens is the root system goes underneath and all the stems grow up from one root system. That is staggering, isn't it? And I came away from there and she said, that's the church. And I came away from that saying, do you know what? I am totally and utterly shivering with inspiration. That's amazing. What a revelation. Can you see how that her attachment to the vine bore fruit in my life, and not as only borne fruit in my life, but borne fruit in your life today? Because I don't think anybody in this room knew that. I certainly didn't know it. And I actually went away to find out whether she was talking truth or not, or just a load of rubbish. And it's absolutely true. The largest single organism on this planet is the aspen tree, because all of them join together, because most of them grow on mountainsides where there's very little depth of earth, where you would think that something wouldn't flourish, because we're in the hardest place in the world to win people. And the reason we don't do it is because it's tough in our area. John Denver sings about Starwood and Aspen up in the Colorado Hills. And I want to tell you, that's just changed my mindset, because the church is all about its connection to each other, and it depends on each other, and it grows up and grows up and grows up, so that the little one that's flourished up down the road, and it's only a little sapling, and then the group that meets over there in your Connect group, or this group, or that group, and Stockton down there, and the guys in Redcar, even though they might have disappointed us in time past, they're still part of what we do. Okay? It's all part of what we do. It's not a failure. It's not a failure. It's all part of God building his church. As our attachment comes to the vine, then we help the kingdom to grow. We help the church to grow. But we're not building another church. We're part of the one and same church that he's building. And God has given us a great ability to be part of that. And you can be part of it even more, so that this area of the forest actually becomes more fruitful, because your attachment to Christ is greater. And your attachment to Christ might be through someone else. Because the whole vine thing means that there's this closeness together, and we all hold hands together because we're all part of one another. Do you realize how important your neighbor is? How important your relationship to your wife is, to your kids are? How important the relationship to your friends are? Because that attachment into Christ is how the sap flows through. We can't be at loggerheads with each other. We have to be one. That's what John's all about, that you might be one. As my Heavenly Father and I and the Holy Spirit are one, we want you to be one. And that oneness is totally and utterly dependent then of the flow through of God's Spirit through each and every one of us to the very tip of the newest member. And actually, probably some of the most fruitful people will be the newest members. Some of us got a little bit old. We need pruning down a bit more. And I say, God, whatever it takes, make me fruitful. Make me fruitful, that I might make a difference. Amen.